Radio. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure to welcome Harry Voigt. He's a senior scholar in public work philosophy at the Szabo Center for Democracy and Citizenship at Augsburg College, senior fellow at the University of Minnesota's Humphrey School of Public Affairs, and visiting professor at Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University in South Africa. He's also the editor of a new book, Democracy's Education, Public Work, Citizenship, and the Future of Colleges and Universities, Democracy's Education by Harry Voigt. Mr. Voigt, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
We look at higher education as, for many people now, it's a pathway to a job, to individual success.
That's right.
That hasn't always been the case, and you argue that it probably isn't really where we should be headed.
That's exactly right. There's a very rich tradition of higher education is it's central to creating a better society for us all, so a public good and a better democracy, and not that doesn't mean elections, that means a democratic way of life. So that was the vision of Thomas Jefferson. He said the powers of the republic lie with the people, but that's not going to work unless they're educated. President Truman's commission in 1947 said the fundamental purpose of higher education is to advance democracy, democratic values, and way of life. So we've seen a lot of erosion of that, because as you say, most people and most colleges today advertise themselves as a ticket to individual success.
Yet there is very little attention, it seems, placed on the idea of educating students to become good citizens.
Educating students for life, not simply for today's jobs, yeah. But I think there are several straws in the wind that things are about to change. For example, last fall, U.S. News and World Report, which has fed this focus on higher education is basically a kind of screening mechanism to pick the winners with its rankings, annual rankings, the U.S. News rankings, had an article entitled, Is a Bubble About to Burst? And they meant the bubble of the frenzy of kind of hyper-competition, which, by the way, that anxiety and mood that our kids have to get into the best colleges, it's produced this incoming freshman class that has the highest incidence of depression and anxiety ever on record. And the counter trends are suggested by something like David Brooks' new book. He's on a tour, and he just reported that all across the country in these very successful, hyper-competitive families, kids are talking about wanting to find some larger meaning in life. So the Democracy's Education book is really about stories of colleges and universities finding a larger public purpose in a lot of different ways, and students really helping to contribute to that. I mean, it's not something done for students. It's something students are helping to create. So I think there's signs of a change in mood, a kind of recovery of the older understanding that education is a lot more than getting a job.
Is it possible to do this? At one time, schools had a tremendous input from the public. There were land-grant colleges. Many state universities were free or nearly free of charge. There was a real effort to help people achieve higher education, the GI Bill,
yeah.
Another example.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that kind of assistance, students were able to look at things that maybe didn't result in a high-paying job that was required to repay student loan debt the first year or two out of college. They could take their time to try and achieve a greater good.
The cost of college has really increased. It's 12 times higher than it was a generation ago. I think there are several factors at work here. One is that over the recent decades, colleges have done things which have driven up the cost, which are not really about educating citizens. So there's been a real push for lower teaching loads, especially in the research universities, higher administrative salaries, and also more administrators. You know, some colleges are going overboard to try to entice students with water theme parks and dive-in movies and kind of extravagant consumer things. So there's all of that. You can look at how faculty research cultures have become more detached, especially at the big universities. So there's less attention to teaching and to relationships between faculty and students. So those are long-developing trends, but there are also counter-trends now developing. That's what we've been charting in this book collection with some of the leading presidents and faculty and a lot of student voices. It's a good collection that shows that there are really important counter trends to the kind of rat race that
And those counter trends, what do they say for the future of higher education?
Well, I think they are the future if we're going to have a really healthy future in higher education and in the society, because many schools today are simply in a reactive mode, but the colleges that are most creative are thinking about how can we shape trends. So the book has stories of students learning how to be change agents in their work, not simply adapt to today's jobs, which is important. I mean, the jobs are going to be different in 20 years. How to bring back the idea of citizen teacher, for example, who's an innovator in what kind of education we need. We have some really powerful stories about special education at Augsburg, for example, which is training students not to fix kids. Special education across the country is in a real state of disarray because it's not working. But in the Augsburg special education program, teachers learn how to work with students in a very different way, helping kids who are now labeled to be civic leaders and work on issues they're concerned about. And that has a transformative effect both on the kids and K-12 schools, but also on the student teachers. Another trend that's really important is that over 600 colleges and universities are now part of what's called the Anchor Institution Task Force, which is thinking about the impact colleges have on the communities in which they're located in a more intentional way. So the impact is enormous, and it can be increased if it's intentional. But there are over $1 trillion every year in economic activity associated with higher education.
Democracy's Education, that's the title of the new book, Democracy's Education, Public Work, Citizenship, and the Future of Colleges and Universities, edited by Harry Boyte, our guest today. That's B-O-Y-T-E, Democracy's Education by Harry Boyte. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sinclair. Bye.